put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Hello, everybody. I'm Sophie, and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. We like to talk about anything here, from parenting and money issues to sex and dating. We like to make psych fun. It's fun psychology,
I
right?
love fun psychology. Yeah. I hate sad psychology.
Sad psychology, boring psychology.
Yeah, boring psychology.
This is like,
fun psychology.
This is like self-help for fun people.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's how we like to keep it. Okay. So you can, I'm a psychologist and life coach, author, mother of two, and I'm passionate about helping people live authentic, joyful lives. If you want to write to me and ask me an advice question, you can find me at makeyourlifefabulous@gmail.com. Keep it nice, people.
Don't be rude.
I'm totally happy to answer your emails. No, I'm kidding. Everybody's very nice. So hit me up for some free advice. I'm here. So please welcome, as you heard, my favorite redhead, Todd Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. Woo, he's here. He's in the house. Yay,
so exciting.
Todd. Always happy when you're here. How's your day?
It's improving steadily.
By the minute.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
See, that's what happens when you hang out with me.
Started shitty.
I did.
Real shitty.
I know it.
But it's getting better. I think by like 1 o'clock, I'll be in a super good mood.
Yay.
Yeah.
I would tell people why it was shitty, but then we would just get all on that. And
no,
then
we don't
want
to get, we don't want to derail
so then,
this.
So we're just going to like, we're just going to keep the happy train.
Yeah,
going.
Keep the happy train. Let's pretend the past is. Right. Just in the past, and it didn't happen.
So let me ask you, did you watch that Wife Zone video thing that I asked
Christ,
you to watch? Like,
yes,
you're
I watched
asshole.
The Wife Zone video.
That, what made you watch?
That yes. I was...
This is like a dumb viral video on YouTube. Yeah. It's just, you know, everybody. And I just said, Todd, you got to watch this thing. Like, we need to make a rebuttal.
I was both aggravated and offended, and at the same time, I laughed a lot.
Right.
Because... Do you want to explain what the video
is? Yeah, the video, basically this guy sort of does a chart and kind of says on one axis is crazy and on the other axis is hot. And he kind of explains, because this guy is so hot, that how like men should never date anything under a 5. And, you know.
He's the opposite of hot.
Right. And anyhow, he sort of like creates these zones. You know, this is the crazy zone. This is the dating zone. This is the fun zone. And this is the wife zone, which is,
And
there's a little bit of truth to it if somebody really is crazy.
Sure.
But there are some grains of truth of people's experience.
Like one section of the chart, if you got like below this level of crazy, but like a 10 hot or something, it was like you were probably dating a tranny.
Yeah, yeah, that was his.
Like
that was his big punchline.
Yeah, it was absolutely hilarious.
Yes,
you're probably dating a tranny. She's really hot and sane.
Yeah,
because she's a man.
Right, that was
kind
the whole
of.
Point. See, yeah. And you actually delivered that punchline way better than he did.
But he was really into his sense of humor. That was the other thing I found amusing about him is he thought his chart was the most clever thing that the internet has ever
well,
seen.
Well, you know what? The guy's gotten over a million views. So, you know, maybe in the general population, he's just fucking brilliant.
But I'm wondering,
because
I've talked to other people who've seen it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
these
yeah.
are progressive, non-misogynistic people.
Nice boys.
And women who
and
have
women,
watched
yeah.
it. And a lot of them are watching it and laughing at it in the way that, you know, the hipsters do, in an ironic way. They're watching this asshole make an ass out of himself. So I wonder how many of those over million hits he gets are people watching him to sort of Mystery Science Theater 3000 the guy and make fun of him.
Wow.
Or
that's a verb you just made up.
Yeah, I just made that up. Or are they people who are kind of laughing with him? Like,
yeah,
how many people are laughing at and how many people
are laughing
with?
We will never know.
We may
we
never
will
know.
Never. I'm hoping I'm hoping that more people are laughing at than with.
I'd love to give the world that kind of credit, but
I don't think so.
I think it's a lot of it.
But it did make me sort of feel like, well, this might be a nice way to sort of couch a little bit of advice, you know, for women in the dating zone and the husband zone. And
yeah,
you know,
where, how's the husband zone? Yeah, are you gonna? You should do a rebuttal video.
Well, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's just fight fire with fire.
Right, but I don't need to insult the guy. We already did that
here.
You
don't have
like
to
it's fine.
Him.
Yeah, I don't need just to insult the guy. Just do something actually somewhat helpful.
Or do like a parody of it.
Or yeah,
that could be funny.
Or a parody
where you're doing yeah.
We need to put on our thinking caps.
Yeah, we need to figure this
out.
God. We need to take this guy
thank God
down.
There's like some other smart people in the room today that are gonna like
what?
Raise they're gonna raise our
is
yeah,
that who,
actually he a, is yes yeah. just one just one just smart one, person but one. He's so smart it's like having two smart people in the room.
Wow.
Yeah he has one of those doctorate degrees. So we're gonna talk about one of our favorite topics, porn. But really this is a little bit serious today, a little bit.
So we're not gonna talk about porn parodies then?
No, maybe on the next one.
Okay, we'll talk about porn.
But what I want to talk about today is we're actually going to do two shows on porn this week. One about young people and how much access they have to it, mm-hmm. and what we should be concerned about and how we might be able to approach this.
That sounds like
in
a depressing
way. That helps.
I know, but
you know what? It doesn't have to be depressing. And then in the next one, we're going to talk about old married people and porn, and you know.
Oh, that
the good and the bad and the
sounds
ugly.
Sounds like more fun.
Right,
somehow.
Exactly. So you'll stick around for that one.
I'll
okay.
Wait.
All right. So let me introduce my distinguished guest today.
Please do.
Yes, he's easy on the eyes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Adi Jaffe received his PhD from the University of California. That's UCLA. Those of you that don't know,
I've heard of that.
And he is known for his online and academic writing. He's been featured on Extra, The Insider, Larry King, CNN. He's so slumming it today.
Wow.
On Milf Talk.
Wow.
He is a specialist in addiction, and his views on addiction and his research on the topic have been published in dozens of journals and online publications. And he has appeared in several television shows and documentaries discussing current topics in addiction and the problem of addiction as a whole. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dr. Adi Jaffe. Woo!
Yay!
This is where you get like thank big applause just
you.
For being an addiction specialist. It's kind of cool.
For not having the entry music when you came in. I want to say, just based on the conversation you guys just had, I want to be clear. My wife is both hot in the wife zone and not crazy.
See?
So
and not
a tranny.
I love you, Sophie. No,
and
she's not a tranny.
And
as far as I know.
Sophie.
As far as I know.
So really, you should just date people named Sophie. That's the advice here.
Perfect. I think we're done now, right?
That's right. We're good. Okay, done. Let's wrap it up. Okay, Scott, we're done. Okay. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I know this is not, we're not talking about drug addiction here, but one of my questions is, because I do have some teenagers in my life that I love and care about and want to sort of nudge in the right direction, so to speak. I try to keep a sex positive household, you know, where questions can be asked and you're not shamed around curiosity. But there's sort of this debate going on in things that that I've been reading, and I think Todd, I sent you some of the articles.
Oh yeah.
Where some people are really looking at the accessibility of porn and whether or not it is an addiction in the same way that you know, that drugs can be.
Right.
I know there's some of these same questions about video games and all
sure.
sorts of things. And does it add to that which we're seeing in the news about aggressive sexuality, or is that just being reported more? You know, are you dealing with any of this in your work? Not in your personal life. You don't have to tell us that.
I was going to say, okay. At least you don't have to send Todd porn because it's so easy to get now. That
yeah. No, I don't have to send Todd any porn.
It's easy.
I find that on my own. I'm really
I was
going to
say, I'm sure he's completely capable of finding that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think you hit on a really good point, and that is it's not that hard to find this stuff now, right? I mean, I remember being a kid, and you had to go steal a Playboy or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you had to go to a place, and there was a magazine you were not allowed to touch, and you had to get it without anybody else knowing that you had it. Somehow maybe pay for it if you wanted to, but probably just running
how
out of the
you?
Store
yeah.
with it.
Right.
And then look at pictures of naked women. And if you couldn't, there was like JCPenney catalogs. Like that was a good
yeah.
one.
Right.
The lingerie section.
Yeah, or if you got Victoria's Secret.
Oh,
yeah,
that was porn. Was like,
yeah. That was straight. Yeah, that was straight porn for
yeah.
a kid. So,
yeah.
And now we've gone to this other place where you can find anything you want that has to do with sexuality. And some, I think the thing is, most kids find it by mistake, even initially, where they look for something relatively innocuous. And I mean, maybe if it's your own 14-year-old and boobs is not the most innocuous thing on the face of the earth for you.
But still.
But it's relatively innocuous.
Yeah, they're just looking for boobs.
They just put the word babysitter in the Google search engine. Oh.
That's a great point. That's all parents
babysitter. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
But yeah, they can look for something. You know, and with autocomplete now, it's even worse.
Oh, like, yeah.
You could be
You could
go look for something that is relatively innocuous again and find this entire niche sex market that you never even knew existed.
Oh yeah,
Mark and I call that minutia. You know, it's like, oh, girls having sex while smoking cigarettes. What the? There's a whole thing.
You said girls having sex already. You're not in a
No. But
market.
I mean, if you put but you could put in like cigarettes or something, and like that would pop up in the search, and you're going,
fetish,
what?
Sure.
What?
Yeah. The other day,
smoking fetish. Yeah.
I was putting. I can't believe I'm saying this, but. This is what I do when I'm working. I was looking for a picture for a blog entry, and I needed something that bitch slap was what I was looking for.
Oh, that was
my Google search, I swear to God.
I was looking for somebody who was slapping somebody
in the face, right? That's what I was looking for. And apparently there's a porn movie called Bitch Slap, and so that's all that came up with these pictures. And I go, no, that you can't overtake that term. Like, that term means something. I need those pictures to come up. It was almost impossible for me to just find pictures of somebody slapping somebody else on the face because there's this movie now, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was writing down, you were talking about parodies. You know, you probably go to look for Forrest Gump now, and Forrest Hump probably just comes up as like as an aside, right?
Yes, right. Yes.
And the problem is, you were asking if this comes up in my work. When you study the neuroscience of addiction, you start understanding that, yes, drugs, the chemicals play a role in it because they make it easier. And we can talk a lot more about how they make it easier, whether today or some other day. But in the end, the reason most drugs and behaviors, sex, drugs, gambling, all those things become addictive is because of just a couple of little specific areas in the brain and how they talk to each other in a way that tells your brain when something is good. And it makes sense, right? I tell this to all of my clients, regardless of what their addiction is. Your brain is actually only there to create associations. That's the best thing that it does. It connects the dots for you, right? So when you see something and it's good, it has there are parts of your brain that are in charge for making sure that you record that so you can go back to that in the future. If something is scary or threatening, you want to stay away from it. That's one of the best things your brain does. And in the context of all these things we're talking about, it's the really immediate rewards, right? We're talking about the most immediate rewards. That's why people don't get addicted to celery, but they get addicted to sugar. Mm-hmm. Because while celery might be nutritional, that takes hours for your body to process and get any enjoyment out of. Sugar takes minutes. And within minutes, your energy level elevates.
Seconds, baby.
I love it. Well, I can talk to you a lot more, but the reason it takes actually seconds is your brain has already learned that the sweet on your tongue means you're going to get an elevation in mood. So it's not really that the sweet does much. As a baby, you already learn that the sweet flavor, mother's milk, essentially will make you feel better. And so you start associating sweet with good.
Yeah.
But, you know, for porn, I mean, again, if we want to go back to, you look even at old porn, right, like 70s porn, it looked nothing like porn looks like today. I mean, at this point, people are essentially only watching 30 second to like 1.5 minute clips of like orgasm. It's like the money shot has become the thing that everybody watches.
It's like there's no art in it anymore.
Damn it.
Right? No storytelling.
Like, what happened to the behind the green doors and the devil and Miss Jones?
Wow, you brought up the green door. Okay. I mean, now we know where you lean when it comes to sex. Because do you know that the movie he's talking about?
No, no.
It's sort of like a woman getting essentially gang raped. But anyway.
Well.
It is.
Sure.
So I'm just saying. But like, you know, I mean, everybody knows these names, right? Debbie Does Dallas, all these movies.
Right,
everybody's
right.
Sort of like
Forrest Hump, apparently.
Forrest Hump. Yeah. I think that's more recent. But but the movies that kind of everybody, when you start talking about old porn, that's the names that people kind of go.
Yeah.
Green Door is actually one of them. But these movies had like 4 or 5 sex scenes in like an hour and a half movie.
Sure. They were drawn out. You got to see them. I mean, I don't remember the names of any of the things that I've seen. But yeah, you got to see them meet. You got to see them swim. And you got to see them sort of like
there were actual
decide to take their
scenes, right?
clothes off.
You got to know Linda Lovelace well before she deep-throated anything.
That's right. You got to know
her
motivation.
Development.
They had motivation. Yeah, now it's just do it. Huh?
Just do it. Exactly. Okay. Just do it. And the problem is that when the reward is connected that quickly, when you want something and you get an immediate reward, and as you can as you both know, an orgasm is a pretty immediate, amazing reward for your brain, for your body in terms of the way that it feels. Your brain makes that connection really, really easily. And I think the fear that a lot of people have, and this is why people question whether porn is an addiction or not, is the fear is that it then distorts your ability to interact sexually in any way that is not that immediate, gratifying.
And novel.
And
Well,
novel and sort of, you know, you can imagine you can surf the porn world and get almost anything you want. I mean, literally.
And a lot you don't want.
Yes. A lot.
That is an excellent point, Don.
It can be terrifying. You can't unsee certain things.
Yeah.
And it's like you think
I think that's probably my concern about like
kids.
Even looking for myself. There's certain things I just don't want to see. I don't need certain images. And yes, that is why I'm so readily available for my kids. You cannot believe the questions my kids have asked me. I have 10 and 14 year old daughters. Man, I got to tell you.
I've got a 2 and 4 year old son. I'm not looking forward to
they
that.
They know just about everything there is to know. In an honest, brief, just what you need to know kind of way, because I'd rather they ask me than end up doing that search and seeing some really ugly stuff.
Or learning from their friends. And this is something that we deal with in the addiction field all the time, right? People pretend as if we all learn how to use drugs.
Yeah.
We learn about porn from the air. That's not how it happened. A friend introduced you to it. That's how it always happened.
That's true.
And when a 14-year-old teaches you how to drink, they're not teaching you to have a glass of Chardonnay with your fish, you know, right? They're like, here's a bottle of vodka, swig as much of this as you can get and hold down so that you can't see straight. That's what they're going for.
Right.
And then we wonder why by the time people get to college, they're, you know, doing keg stands because they learn how to drink from 14-year-olds. This is a joke. This is now the second time I've talked about my dad in 2 days. I hope my mom is not listening to these things. My dad was an OBGYN. He passed away now, but he was an OBGYN. I never had a sex talk with my dad. And now growing up, I'm like,
really?
Are you serious?
Wow.
I had the expert source at home.
He could have told you how to find your way around a vagina.
All over the place. I mean, you would imagine having, it's like, it's like having a football coach for a dad and not knowing how to throw a football. That's just, it's obscene. It's not okay. So for all the OBGYNs listening, please have this conversation with your kids.
Yeah.
But like most other kids, I found what I did find was porn.
Yeah.
And I found his porn. Every boy finds his dad's porn stash if he's lucky.
Right.
And then that's how you end up learning about sex. And the problem is, and I think this is why this is a relevant conversation, is you end up believing that that's sex if nobody else has a conversation with you
about it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
No.
I mean, now as an adult, I know that it's not. But as a 13-year-old kid, I had no idea. I'm like, oh, so people just... You know, the maid just comes down and then they have a foursome, you know, just with the boss after she cleans. Everybody orgasms. Yeah, is that how people have sex?
Is that not how people have sex?
I mean, not in my house. Again, my wife is hot, in the wife zone, and not crazy. I love you, Sophie. I need to make sure I say that multiple
times.
Just
want to be clear, if you're tuning in late, I'm not his wife.
No, that's true.
I can't afford a maid, and I've wanted one for so long because I thought, but now I see it's a waste of money. I'm not hiring a maid. Do my own cleaning.
His wife is actually quite hot and in the wife zone and not crazy.
Well, obviously you said that enough on air now, so you don't need to. This is my first time, and I just want to be clear. I'll say it again one more time before we end.
We just all want to stay married by the end of this show, right? Okay, I'm not married, but I'm, you know, happily attached. So, that would be my concern. This would be my concern. If it's so readily available, okay, we can't help that, right? And I don't want to shame, you know, my kids or, you know, about being curious, right? Because that's obviously the most natural thing. I mean, I used to go get the encyclopedia. Britannica.
She's holding a book.
And it was the one with S for sex.
I had that.
Okay, right? Uh-huh. The blue one in the 70s, you know, the blue set.
And
I would read the thing on sex. And that was like my information, you know? And
the Britannica does such a great job of describing sex.
I'm sure it's really hot.
I really don't remember. I read it enough times, though. I should remember it. But, you know, and I was pretty young, like with that curiosity. I mean, I was probably like 5 or 6, you know. Right. And so that's so normal. Right. And then, of course, they're going to trip upon all of this stuff. Right. And then that's going to be so interesting. And then they're going to experience that, you know, young sexual quick gratification kind of thing and become sort of, I think there's sort of an obsession and an addiction to sex anyway when you're an adolescent to some degree.
Sure, I mean,
but then they become
puberty, right?
Sort of become obsessed with that in conjunction with these kinds of visuals that we're talking about.
Yeah, look,
so
I mean,
what do we do?
I think these things, they all cross-relate, right? So whether it's drugs or gambling or kids...
Oh, sure. I mean,
kids innately, as they're developing, as their brain is developing, we know this, right? They have a far less developed sense of how to control their behavior.
Right. I mean, their frontal lobe is not developed.
You know, it has to do with myelination, if you want to really talk about the sort of the wrapping for their neurons in the prefrontal cortex of their brain has not been fully developed until they're in their early to mid-20s, which is probably the thing that makes us human and able to plan and all that sort of stuff, is the fact that we can... take it, I'm pointing at my forehead, the part of our brain behind our forehead is the part that helps us plan. Well, their part is not fully developed until
they get to their mid-20s.
And specifically
understand consequences.
And
right?
be able to delay immediate gratification for future reward. I always joke, again, I joke with my clients all the time, that's how college can survive. I mean, imagine putting a chimp and saying to them, well, you can have 5 bananas now or you can go to college for 4 years and then you'll have 500 bananas. They'll look at you and say, you're an idiot. Give me my bananas, right? They don't.
Right.
They're not doing anything for 5 years for anything. It doesn't matter what the reward at the other end is. And we expect.
And monkeys don't want to deal with student loans.
No.
And shit like that. They're not into it.
And it's really hard to get the FAFSA loan for them.
Yeah.
It's really,
especially
really
if you're getting a loan
difficult.
For bananas, it doesn't work out well. Yeah. No.
So we end up with these kids. I mean, we're talking about even younger than 18, but we end up with kids who have to really delay getting the good stuff now, and they don't do that good of a job. But if that's why college, you know, in college, 90% of kids drink and 50-60% of them binge drink. But when we start looking at it before, they're really just not good at this stuff. And I think what you're talking about is the best that we can really do is present the information, make sure that they actually have access to all the information, because we can't control the world. We just can't do that. I mean,
you're not going to keep them offline. Like, that's just...
What information are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm talking about, so if they're exposed to sex and they're exposed to porn, to have a real conversation with them and say, look, I know that you get to see these things out there and there are all these, you know, all these different ways that you're seeing people have sex, and it's fine to look at and all that sort of stuff. I just need you to understand that that's different than an intimate sexual relationship that you're going to probably have one day. It's not, doesn't mean that none of those things will happen in your life, but it's like watching, you know, Hook, the movie, and I'm thinking about it probably because I've been talking about Robin Williams for the last 2 days, but you go watch that movie, it's not like you think that you're going to leave the theater and a bunch of pirates are going to jump on you. So to be able to make that leap and be able to say, okay, I can watch porn, and there's a place for that, right? Mm-hmm. That is entertainment, and it's sexual entertainment, but it's entertainment, and that doesn't mean that that's how my life is going to unfold.
Right.
That's pretty different than the way I was exposed to it when I was a kid, because it was so shameful that you didn't talk to anybody. The way I knew my dad knew that I found his porn was he woke me up one morning and said, where is it? That's how I knew. Literally, right? So that was our sex conversation, by the way. That was it. And so to actually be able to sit down with somebody and say, that stuff is exciting. Yes, people like watching it. It's not the same as a lot of the sexual behavior that people actually have on a day-to-day basis. Just like Superman can jump off of a building and fly, don't jump off of a building and fly. That would be really bad for you, right? We need to have these conversations, but there are things we don't talk about with kids.
Right.
Well, sex and drugs are two of the biggest ones.
And you mentioned something very important, which is the element of shame, because I think that shame is such a big part of the addiction cycle, obviously, that... I feel that if we do shame our children around it, we're actually sort of stoking the fire toward addiction.
Well, this is probably how it pans out based on the research that I've seen, right? The vast majority of the kids will never have a problem with it anyway. So you're worried for no reason.
Okay.
Because
vast majority of the kids will have no problem.
They might experiment with drugs, but they're never going to have a problem with drugs.
Oh, I see.
And I'm talking like 80% of kids, right?
Okay.
Will never have a problem with it.
Interesting.
The other 20% will... If you don't talk to them, then you kind of leave them to discover whatever they're going to discover. And unfortunately, if their experience is anything like a lot of the other kids I've talked to, and like research shows, they end up congregating, right? The stoners are the kids that end up being friends. Some of the other kids might smoke weed here and there, but they don't end up being known as the kids who do drugs.
Right.
And so by shaming them, we sort of make them hide. So for the most of the kids,
make them hide. Hide in their groups. Yeah,
we can also make them high. I guess.
Yeah. A little confused for a second.
If you shame them,
they will
hide and then get high.
all at the same time.
Right.
But if we, so I think the thing for us is it's better to just have the initial low level, not you know you really have to watch out of this stuff and all that mm-hmm. kind of conversation, but just an informational conversation. You're going to be exposed to these things. You're going to see them. Feel free to come to me and talk to me if you want mm-hmm. to find out.
So you sit your kid down and you say, like Bill Hicks said, not all drugs are bad. Some of them are great.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know. It wasn't in the summary that you read, but I have a pretty extensive drug history. That's how I got interested in the field. And this is a thing that I have with my wife all the time. Like, what happens? I have a 4-year-old now. I don't need to worry about it. But what happens when he's like 9 or 10? Right? Mm-hmm. Do I talk to him about it? And the way that I think about it, at least right now, again, based on a bunch of research that I've seen, is I'm probably going to share some of my experiences with him. But more than anything, instead of saying drugs aren't all bad, to just say this, you're going to see drugs. You're going to be exposed to drugs. I don't expect you to somehow be able to magically stay away from them because your friends are going to experiment with mm-hmm. them. What I would love is for us to be able to openly speak about it. So I would love it because, A, I'm an expert in this field, and B, I have my own experiences. If you could come to me and talk to me about what you're being exposed to, and we can have a real conversation mm-hmm. about what is dangerous and what is not dangerous, because you know your safety is most important to me, and I love you, and I want you to be safe. And I think that exact same conversation can be had about sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be exposed to things. You're going to see a bunch of things. Some of them are going to be interesting. Some of them are going to be disgusting. Some you're going to want to try to do, and some you're going to have absolutely no interest in whatsoever. You're going to have your friends to talk about it, and you're going to talk about it all you want. But if there's more information you want, I've been around for a little bit longer than you.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know some stuff. Like, I know a little more than your friends do. That's what I try to explain to my daughters. It's like, just so you know, I probably know more than your friends do.
Yeah, come and talk to me. Teenagers don't believe their parents when you say that.
You know
that.
What, though? I don't know. I think that because my kids have always been able to ask me stuff, I think that they do kind of, they trust me.
Right.
And because I am willing to answer questions mm-hmm. about a wide variety of topics. I mean, my God, the question. And this is why I think this is so important, this topic, because your kids are going to see stuff. I mean, my kids have asked me about everything.
I want to hear one of these questions. Don't you want to hear one of these questions?
I mean, okay, literally, yeah, they've said, like, how do gay people have sex? How do boys have sex? How do girls have sex? How does that work?
Like
how
two
does,
girls, you're saying.
Yeah, like two girls. Like, how does that work? And then what's an STD? And what's the, and what's, God, they've asked me about some weird, like,
I know I've done crazy research work. If none of those things embarrass me. Me whether you're asking.
Oh, no, like, none of them do.
No,
but when your 9 and 13-year-old are sitting with you asking these questions and you're literally like trying to explain, well, this part goes into here and I guess they do this and some girls try this and, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I have two boys and I'm absolutely the go-to person. Like whenever my son asks my wife something, she goes,
ask your dad.
Abba, that's my, Abba's going to go explain to Dad. Yeah, go over there. That's fine.
Well, I think that there were a couple more that were like about expressions, you know.
Like
felching or something you know. And I was like, oh God, but I can't remember what it was. But anyway, it was a conversation at like 1 in the morning with my little girls when we were on vacation. And I'm like, well, this is something to remember, you know. But they felt.
Did you get somebody to take a picture, or did you just do a selfie?
we did a selfie. But they felt. I just think they feel safer in a sense because they kind of know that they have somebody to go to. They know that they don't have to just walk around confused because like you said, you know, they're going to come upon things that they don't want anything to do with. And what if they're thinking in their minds, do I have to do that? And this is a question about, because apparently there is so much aggressive and violent sex on the internet
mm-hmm.
that is what a lot of kids are being exposed to,
rape
scenarios, things like that.
Well, just like
well, and if you're a kid, mainstream internet,
it's all rough sex now.
Right.
There's
and spanking and this and that and which might be between a very loving couple, but they don't have the concept of how that is not aggressive maybe between these two people, but it's just the way that, see, that's what I am concerned about, is how they can reconcile these sort of images in their mind.
I read an article, and I think it was in GQ a few years ago, and it was from a woman's point of view, because I think this conversation is very different coming from a man's point of view and a woman's point of
view.
Because in most of these scenarios, the man in these aggressive
is the dominant,
is the dominant one. And there can be an attractive sort of piece to it, like, I'd love to be in control all the time, especially since, in reality, let's just be real about it, when you're in junior high and high school, women are in complete control. Because you guys are like 4 years older than us in terms of your development, and we're like, what is happening?
We hold the key.
Yeah, we don't understand.
We, totally
we don't
hold
even
the
understand
key,
what's
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
So then the fantasy of actually being totally in control can be really nice for a man. But then the interview was from a woman's point of view about the men she was hooking up with and their kind of sexual acting out post, you know, this porn being so available.
Mm.
And they were like acting out this porn that they've been watching. And she goes, this is not okay. You can't have sex with me like this. I don't understand what you thought that this would somehow be okay, right? And so I think it's really interesting to have this conversation. Is you two girls, I have two boys, and it is something that we have to be really aware of, because if what we're trying to do is create an equation where when people actually connect in an intimate way and have sex, they're going to be loving to each other and be able to connect more so than just act out some fantasy they saw in a movie 15 years ago or 4 years ago.
Right. And don't you want your sons to be good lovers?
Well,
I think it's kind of important to, like,
not just be good,
like,
lovers, but
really
probably not, like, misogynistically dominate and repress their mate.
But I think that, you know, Sophie, I think you make a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with consenting adults, there's role playing and all this stuff. And, you know, but I think once you've matured past a certain point, you know those are roles and it's a separate.
Yeah, there's boundaries and it's safe.
And
it's
that's
all
what
that.
I'm saying, right? That's why I think you're right, is if you introduce that from an early age and say, look, there are two somewhat separate realities and you get to pick what you want to let into your world, but don't think that just because you've seen it on a screen, it's part of reality. It doesn't have to be ever at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're saying, right? If the dominating thing doesn't really feel right to you, write it off. You're good. You don't need, it's not like you need to let it into your world past that point.
And not every girl is expecting that, because I would imagine if a young man sort of grows up feeling like, I'm not going to be a man in the bedroom unless I sort of throw her around and spank her and do all of those things. What if, you know, what if he's like, I just kind of want to fall in love and have some heart-centered sex.
Right.
And he's like, you know, and he feels like, I'm not a man unless I'm this, you know.
But that's where that shame piece comes in. That's where the open conversations, I think, come in, because he could have resolved that at some point earlier on by having the conversation. I'm not really comfortable with the things I'm seeing.
Right.
Is it okay that I'm not comfortable with it, and to have that conversation? Because at the end, I think we want, not only do we care about what our kids' relationship is going to look like in 15, 20, 30 years, it's we want them to be safe, right?
Right?
We don't want them to fall prey to early pregnancy. We don't want them to be raped. We don't want literally their safety we want maintained.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to me, that's the first concern. The first concern is, look, I want to make sure that you understand that you only get to let the things in that you want to let in.
Enthusiastic consent, yes.
Yeah, and you get to do whatever you want within that framework, but you get to put some thought into that, and you don't have to take it on just because you've seen it in the movie and you have to imagine, well, I saw it in the movie, therefore people must be allowed to do that with me for the rest of my life.
Right.
That's a big conversation that is really difficult to have with an 11, 12, 13-year-old.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's those ages where they need to start understanding that, because they're forming their identity. They're trying to figure out where they fit in. And we were joking around about this. You know, junior high, high school suck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they suck because you don't even know who you are yet. And you're trying to form these little cliques of people that are supposed to be like you, but they change. So 2-3 months later, the people who were your best friends 3 months ago might not be talking to you anymore. It's it's a really confusing social time. And if so, you have an idea of how you're supposed to connect to the other sex or to the same sex. You're supposed to connect to your lovers. And you see it one way on a screen and you start incorporating that as your identity. This is what I'm supposed to do with people, even though I really feel uncomfortable around it, don't like it. That's a problem.
So in your opinion, do you feel that the actual addiction concern with porn is maybe the same as drugs, maybe like 20% or something like that, or and that really the most important concern around this isn't necessarily addiction, but shame, anxiety, communication.
Yeah, for about 80-85% of the population, I'd say what we're dealing with is how do they deal with consequences related to sex, right? Early pregnancy, rape, all that sort of stuff, sexual assault, all those sorts of things. I don't want to minimize for the other 15%, 15, 20%.
No, it's serious.
Life can be hell. I mean, yeah. if you go to Sex Addicts Anonymous, if you talk to people who have dealt with sexual addiction in their own lives, it is traumatizing and it can destroy not just their relationship, but their own sense of self, right?
Sure.
And it's not, you know, I was writing down like the Tiger Woods stories, all these things that we hear in the news.
Yeah.
Okay, that might be one thing, so the philandering is sort
that,
of cheating.
But is that, like, is sex addiction, that's a real thing? Because one of the articles that Sophie
not based on the DSM yet.
Sent me.
Really?
The DSM didn't include it in the last, it's not even included in an appendix.
But do you think it is?
I think we're going to find that it's almost, we're going to move away from, in my opinion, focusing on the specific thing that people are addicted to and more into
just
a reward deficiency syndrome or something where people feel like they need immediate rewards, and whatever it is that they find that flips that switch is how I call it. Whatever it is that flips their switch in terms of the pleasure that they get that works with their brain system and their genetics and all that sort of stuff, that's what they're going to connect
just
to.
Be, well, let's just call them all like dopamine addiction or adrenaline addiction or whatever, you know, yeah, whatever right. it is, reward addiction. Well, I was just thinking about like gambling, for instance, and gambling actually has been quite romanticized and, sure. You know, poker tournaments, everything being filmed, which I cannot believe we sit around and watch people play poker. But
you get that reveal, right? They show you their cards.
Oh, it's so exciting, right? but and kids do watch this, and they think they're going to go, right?
From a neuroscience point of view, gambling is perfect. And the reason right. is the best way to teach an animal, and yes, we're animals for those of you who are listening, the best way to teach an animal how to do something is by a random reinforcement schedule. What that means is when you don't know when their reward is coming, and most of the rewards are actually small, not big, that's when you go after something with a vengeance. When it comes consistently, you don't like it all that much. So you like it better than if you don't get rewarded, but it's almost like not getting rewarded is the least enticing. Getting rewarded every single time that you do something is more enticing, but getting rewarded in a small way every once in a while, that's the most enticing thing you have. Which is why slot machines are the king in Vegas, because I probably played $20 in slot machines in my entire life. And then you walk into a casino and it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And the reason is that little action, the lever pulling, put money in, lever pulling, you're like a rat in a
cage.
You're
a rat in a cage. Intermittent reinforcement. And I tell women this about relationships, you know, when they're in a relationship where they get that intermittent reinforcement.
Yep.
He's being good this week. Oh, we're having a good week. That shit completely addicting beyond anything.
Absolutely.
It can be behavior, gambling, anything.
Yes, which is why, you know, it's so hard. I mean, that's why I think the behavioral addictions, of course, they can be addictive. They're rewarding. They're objectively rewarding as far as your brain is concerned. And that's really, in the end, all that matters. It's how your brain perceives the activity that's happening around you. Sex is rewarding. It's so rewarding. It's one of the basic drives we have for survival. And so when you find a way to connect that to an immediate short-term reward, you found the key. And that's what I think is problematic with the way even porn has developed now, which is, you know, we can make fun of the kind of movie version of porn and all that sort of stuff, but when all you have to do is watch 15 seconds of a clip, have an orgasm, and be done with it, that's what sex has become to you, is a payoff, right? It's
right.
the immediate payoff.
I don't go
right.
that fast. It takes me like 2 minutes.
Oh, good. I'm learning way more about you than I need to.
Oh, Todd, you're such a lover. That's the best 2 minutes you've ever had. I'll tell you. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for talking about this conversation. And actually, I'd love to have you back on
Absolutely.
And talk about the teenage drug conversation, because I've had some good ones, actually. And I think we could have a good conversation about that.
Would love it.
About how to talk to your kids about that stuff.
Cool. Will Todd be here?
If
I
you're
hope
lucky.
So, if we're lucky.
For
I
two
love
whole
it
minutes.
When Todd's here for 2 minutes. He'll be here for 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
All right. So, you ready to take the milk quiz?
Oh,
it's
God,
the
I'm
price of doing business,
thing.
Baby. Yeah, oh, it's not that bad.
You should be terrified.
No.
I was terrified over there.
Yeah.
It's nothing. You've
let's
watched.
Do it.
Come
I'm
on. It's nothing. It ain't no big thing. Okay. First word that comes to mind when you hear MILF.
Really? It's going to be the same word that comes up in a second. Fuck.
Okay. What turns you on creatively?
What turns me on creatively? Going against the stream, doing something that is revolutionary and people don't expect.
Cool. What turns you off creatively?
Boring, monotonous, menial work.
Yeah.
Mm.
I hate it. Can't do it.
What sound or noise do you love?
Mm. my kid's voice.
Yeah, we can all agree on that. The laughing. Kids laughing. What sound or noise do you hate?
My kid's voice.
Hey, I wasn't asking you.
I know.
I don't know. What sound do I hate? I used to do music, so horribly DJ'd music. I know that's
like
really,
what,
really
like
specific.
What?
Like when DJs suck and they can't mix songs and it sounds like, you know, your fourth grade party where people just stop songs and put the next one on.
I can't stand when DJs stop a song like 30 seconds into it. Why are we doing that?
I don't know.
There's too many mashups. Just let the song play.
And then they get so bad at it that the mashups suck. So they actually mix songs that don't
and
go
together.
And then
they start mixing their mashups, and it's really a mess.
Horrible. That makes sense.
That's another show. Let's do another show.
It is another show, actually. I have a little history in music myself.
Oh, cool.
What's your favorite curse word?
I already said it. Fuck.
Okay, there you go.
That's a good one.
Number one celebrity on your hump island. Remember, Ooh. He loves his wife. She's totally hot. She's
My
totally
wife is
sane.
Hot in the wife zone and not at all crazy, right? I've said all
but
three.
She doesn't happen to be a celebrity, so.
No. She's a
minor Come on,
celebrity.
Your wife's heard you say,
yeah,
like,
yeah, no, I know, but,
that actress is hot.
Yeah, I know, but I have to pick
one. You have
now.
To pick
really
one.
Know.
I know, it's hard. There's a lot.
Holy crap. I don't know. I got to get back
to you. He's got a really crowded hump island.
Yeah, I'll be back.
I think we all should have a very crowded hump island.
There's not
I
a
have
lot
to
of...
think about it. I don't know.
Oh,
sorry.
God. We have to come back to that?
Yep.
Ah, jeez.
You have to have me back now.
All right.
But I'll come with an answer next time, I
promise.
Okay,
you better. Favorite song to sing in the shower?
Okay.
You only get to skip one, mister. You better
answer.
Yeah,
no, totally. Okay. There's a song, Some Nights by Fun, that is one of my favorite songs right
All
now.
All right. Mm-hmm. Favorite song to sing at karaoke after two drinks?
Creep.
Oh, yeah. That's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you sing that one for me?
I had a troubled childhood.
Creep?
Yeah.
I guess I could sing Creep. I can handle that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think could. I can't remember. Does he get... He never goes
bring
too
a guitar
high.
Okay.
Well, no, in the
yeah, he might actually. Yeah, it may
we can
be,
do it.
I think
I'll
we
bring
should
a guitar
text,
next time. We'll do it.
Yeah, I think right. we should text a D next time we go karaoke.
Yeah,
love it.
If hell exists, and you know you're down there because you are.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I'm sorry, honey.
And you get to send one post-it back to humanity. Just a post-it note, short note. What would it say?
It's not all that bad down here.
So lesson, just have fun.
Just have fun. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Adi, for being here. I hope you will come back.
Thank you so much.
And, he has to tell us who will help on the hump island.
I don't know. I think he's just trying to stay safe. I think he's not coming back, and he's just going home to his wife going like, baby, there's nobody on my hump island. That's really what it is. There's nobody else today. Yes. Thank you, Todd. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
With all of your effusive, lovely energy.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
You just made her snort those.
I'm just trying to sound smart in front of the doctor. set your DVRs for You're the Worst on FX, which there's a lot of sex in that show.
It's a lot of sex.
It's practically porn.
It's a very
so
dirty
don't get
program.
Addicted. Actually, do get addicted to
get
that
addicted
show.
To You're the Worst.
That's right. You can find me on Facebook. It's Sophie Venable. Go ahead and like me. Just like me, please. Follow me on Twitter at MILF Talk, and you can find my book, MILF 101, on Amazon. It'll make you happy, I swear. Thank you for listening today. Bye.
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 If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.